been a long time since I've received so many positive comments about a sermon. But last week, Greg hit the nail on the head, and there are a number of people who made very positive responses to his teaching on the gift of speaking in tongues and interpretation. And I want to express my thanks to Greg for stepping up at relatively short notice to do that. This morning we're going to explore four more gifts: the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discernment, and the one you've all been waiting for, exorcism. The word of wisdom is important in the proclamation of the word of God. It ensures that the gospel will continue to be proclaimed effectively against resistance and all manner of obstacles, and that its message of salvation will be effective in transforming lives and inspiring faith. The gift ensures that the local church and its leaders are kept from going off on tangents. It brings a release from the frustration of diversity and nurtures a unity of purpose within the body of Christ. Wisdom enables the good stewardship of resources, brings a freedom from the waste of time and effort, spiritual and emotional stress. The word of wisdom does this by pointing the church in the right direction, and the right direction is the way of the cross. The spiritual gift of wisdom is not so much a sudden miraculous giving of wisdom, but a settled attitude of mind which is inspired by God's Spirit and which has a comprehensive understanding of God's purposes as revealed in Scripture, as centred in the crucified Christ and leading to a Christ-like life. We recognise those around us with the gift of the word of wisdom who may speak into a complex situation with a clarity of purpose that advances the kingdom of God. Wisdom understands the priorities clearly and sees the destination. It's very important to note that a person with such a gifting does not have an ability to utter wise, infallible sayings on every occasion. The word of wisdom does not provide shortcuts to problem solving, and it does not do away with responsible leadership and careful long-term planning. The word of knowledge. In the Old Testament, the knowledge of God is always linked with God's acts of self-revelation. For example, God speaks through the prophet Ezekiel about the judgment he will bring in order that God's people may know that he is Lord. I'm reading from Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 8 to 12. You fear the sword, and the sword is what I will bring against you, declares the sovereign Lord. I will drive out of the city and deliver you into the hands of foreigners and inflict punishment upon you. You will fall by the sword, and I will execute judgment on you at the borders of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And you'll know that I am the Lord, for you have not followed my decrees or kept my laws, but have conformed to the standards of the nations around you. God's self-revelation also provides a sign for the testimony of God's people from generation to generation. And in Exodus chapter 10, beginning of that chapter, we read these words. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials so that I may perform these signs among them, that you may tell your children and your grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord. Throughout the Old Testament, knowledge of God always comes out of personal encounter with God, who reveals God's self. When the New Testament speaks of knowledge, knowledge of God also comes from encountering God. For example, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, Paul writes, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, How is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You see, knowledge of God brings freedom to live in the power of the Holy Spirit and to the glory of Christ. Knowledge leads to personal salvation and a real experience of living in the light of the knowledge of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it's written, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." And there are two dimensions to the spiritual gift of the word of knowledge. Firstly, a revelation from God. The knowledge that Jesus had regarding the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, where he invites her to go and get her husband. And she says, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You are right when you say you have no husband. In fact, you've had four husbands, and the man that you're now living with is not your husband." Divine knowledge that Jesus had, that he spoke into this woman's life. And the revelation of that word of knowledge that the Apostle Paul had in Acts chapter 5 regarding Ananias and Sapphira, who claimed that they had given all of the money from the sale of their property, when in fact they had withheld a portion of it. And Paul had a word of knowledge and called them out on that. Consequences weren't so flash for Ananias and Sapphira. The second dimension and more frequent expression of the gift of the word of knowledge is that extraordinary knowledge of God and the scriptures, often paired with the gift of teaching. The Christian scholar who brings the word of God to life for others to comprehend and personally encounter the living God of the Old and New Testaments. And I believe that's what you experienced last week. One of the important warnings for those of us who operate in one or both gifts of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom is that of pride. That we would be encouraged to exercise those gifts with humility, not considering ourselves superior to others. Knowledge without discernment is of little value. So let's now explore the gift of discernment and how important it is in exercising all of the spiritual gifts. In turning to Reverend Robert Hill and his book 27 Spiritual Gifts, he writes, "The Church of Christ is a dynamic organism where the Spirit of God is active. All the gifts are given and used, and where there is prophecy, there will be false prophecy. Those who claim to bring a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom may be mistaken. So I ask you, is that any reason to dampen the spirit and limit the expression of gifts? No. It is all the more reason to pray for those who have the gift of discernment." In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, Paul emphasizes our limited ability in this age to discern God's truth when he writes, "We see in a mirror dimly." Paul is teaching that even those with such gifts as prophecy and faith find it hard to see God's will and truth at times. As human beings, we are all prone to make mistakes. If we are to discern the mind of God with any accuracy at all, then we shall need the varying insights that come with the whole variety of gifts. Above all, we need those with the special gift of discernment. Without this gift, the church, rich in spiritual gifts, may fall victim to all types of extremes, such as erratic ministries, false teaching, immaturity in behaviour and witness, and most certainly, division within the body. Discernment is the gift that can ascertain the truth of what is being said, the motive that is primarily at work in the one who is speaking or performing, and discern the appropriateness of the behaviour of the one who is exercising ministry. So the three key criteria of one who has the gift of discernment, what they are looking at is the message, the motive, and the behaviour. The one gifted with discernment can distinguish between that person who has something to say and that one who just has to say something. The word of caution to those with the gift of discernment comes from Matthew 7, where Jesus wants us not to be judgmental in spirit, but to be discerning by not casting pearl before swine. Now, one of the essential pairings of discernment is with the gift of exorcism. Exorcism requires discernment and should not be exercised without it. Over the past 30 years or so, there has been a growing prevalence in popular culture, on our TV screens, in our movie theatres, and in many series of books that have been written, of demon possession, ghosts, spirits, witches, mediums, Satanism. This widespread interest and fascination with the occult may be a byproduct, even a reaction to, the materialism and secularism of our age. Humans are spiritual beings and we cannot live in a totally non-spiritual environment. Exorcism is the special facility that some members of the body of Christ have to cast out evil spirits in the name of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. This ability is greatly strengthened by three things. Number one, the prayer of the church. Number two, the gift of discernment. And number three, the oversight of the church leadership. The New Testament shows Jesus' ministry and death as a battle against personal evil forces. And although Christ triumphed over these forces in his death and resurrection, they remain active in the world today. One symptom of the continuing power of Satan is demon possession. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he confronts demonic powers. For example, in Luke chapter 6, a large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him, healing them all. From Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 2, after this, Jesus travelled about from town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. From Luke chapter 8, 26 to 39, Jesus bringing freedom to the demon-possessed man of Gennesaret. Jesus had authority to directly cast out demons, and Jesus gave his disciples the authority to cast out evil spirits. The Gospels provide principles and instructions for this ministry and the exercising of exorcism. The apostles practiced this ministry, and in Acts chapter 19, we read of handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched Paul that were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. From Acts chapter 16, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. exorcism is not specifically mentioned in the New Testament as a spiritual gift. However, the many instances recorded in the Gospels and in the Acts of the Apostles, the recorded history of the Christian church throughout the centuries, and our experiences of contemporary society have convinced many scholars that exorcism is a special spiritual gift. One of the critical components of exercising discernment and exorcism in our time is the imperative of distinguishing between mental and emotional illness and, by contrast, the presence of spiritual darkness in the form of evil spirits. One requires compassion and prayer for healing, while the other requires the spiritual disciplines and ministry of exorcism. And so we bring this part of our journey to a close, having explored the gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discernment, and exorcism. And the teaching, as we're going through on this journey together, is to cast out, to dispel any sense of fear about gifts, particularly these sorts of spiritual gifts that deal with the dark elements of the spiritual realm, that in growing in knowledge, our fear would be diminished. In increasing our understanding, that we would experience a greater freedom to exercise the gifts of God's Spirit. And so I want you to be encouraged and inspired to continue to seek those gifts that God has for you, equipping you for the ministries that God is calling you to fulfill, and to exercise God's gifts as He has empowered you to do. In the name of Christ, Amen.